All right. Thank you very much for tuning in again to our Fitness with Feldman podcast here. And we've got part two this week of John and Sean talking about acute versus chronic workload. And if you missed part one, make sure you go back to that one and check that out. And also make sure you check out the blog that John wrote on the same thing. We'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes. Enjoy.
All right. Hey, everybody. John back. How's it going, guys? Sean. We're here talking about, we want to expand upon what we started last time. So last Friday, we started introducing acute versus chronic workload and how that relates to injury prevention or improving fitness. And we're going to come back with the part two today for our Facebook Live Friday. So I think last time we alluded to the fact that it can be a pretty complicated topic to discuss. So we're going to try and help you guys break it down because, I mean, our heads still spin when we take a look at the research, and it's, you know, you could read this thing five times, and, you know, there's a lot of data involved too. So unless you're a data junkie, like Justin, I know Justin loves his data. He's watching, by the way. So, hey, Justin.
What's up, Justin?
I mean, unless you know, you're really familiar and comfortable with numbers, you know, you can get bogged down pretty quickly. So we're going to try and break it down a little bit, you know, to help you understand and see how you can make it applicable to your own training. So we'll get through it. Sean just housed the giant burrito in about 5 minutes, so I think he's ready for a nap. But he'll we'll plug through this, and I think
he'll survive.
So, well, the first part we'll talk about is using actual numbers and data and weight or volume or something objective to kind of measure. And then the second half of it, we'll use what we call RPE, rate of perceived exertion. It's less objective, much more subjective, and you can kind of gauge, you know, your own fitness levels and exertion levels or fatigue levels. So that being said, we'll first review acute versus chronic workload. Why do we care? Because if you look at, we'll just take a month. It's just a nice, easy round number to work with. 4 weeks in a month, give or take. I'm waiting for somebody to call us out on like specific things that we said. 4 weeks in a month. So you want to take a look at the week that you're in right now versus the previous 3 weeks. And you never want your current week, either your training volume or your perceived exertion or your fatigue, to be much more than the previous 3 weeks that you've just gone through. So the weeks that are behind you already, we consider that your fitness because you've been stressed out, you exercised, but you've recovered from those exercises and those stresses, and now they've made you better already. So your chronic workload is what we consider your fitness, and your acute is what we consider your current fatigue,
right?
That's the best way to describe
it. That's good.
You know, because the exercises you're doing now, your body's gonna be, you know, tired from them in the next few days or the week that you're in, and but you're assuming that you've already recovered well enough from the previous few weeks. So, Sean, which part do you wanna talk about? You wanna do the first one or the second?
Well, I can chime in on what we're talking about now.
Okay.
So you made a good point. You don't want your acute to be much more than your chronic. But if you think about it, we do need to progress weekly, right?
Right.
To make those training adaptations, to make gains, whatever. But there's that sweet spot, maybe that sweet spot that we should talk about. And that is not jumping by more than, you know, 10% of what you did last week.
Right.
Or in your last 3 to 4 weeks, your chronic.
Right, because what we tell patients a lot is you do have to stress yourself somewhat. You got to push the needle and redline every now and then. Otherwise, you're really not going to be, sorry, let me just hit the notification there. You're not going to be making any changes. You know, if I want to get my arm stronger, you know, 2 pound bicep curls are not going to cut it for me. They might for somebody who's elderly or deconditioned, but for the majority of us, you know, really lightweight won't make enough of a change. So, you know, we have to push ourselves quite a bit in order to make improvements. So,
right. Did we want to give an explanation, like an example?
Yeah, so let's, using real data and real numbers, and this can be a runner or it could be weightlifting. So I'll do one of each. Take a runner. You know, they put in a certain amount of miles per week. So really simply, you never want to go more than 10% above the amount of mileage that you've done the previous few weeks.
That's
a really great way to keep your injury risk at bay. For people with stress fractures, we're returning to sport, or even after injuries, we use that 10% as a really conservative number, so that we're respecting that the injury was present and you're still at risk of another injury. So you never want to increase more than 10% in total volume per week when it comes to running. So it's, say you ran, 10 miles last week. You just don't want to go above that the following week. So if you're on the lower end of training, or if you're severely deconditioned, pardon me, it can get boring in the beginning. But again, it's all about modifying risk. So if you make jumps too quickly, you can get injured. So,
sure.
But for those runners who have put in some high mileage, you can get away, that 10% increase will be significant for you. But again, all about modifying risks.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're lifting weights. So this is one that we get asked a lot. Can I do more reps? Can I do more sets? When can I go up in weight? But we're still using numbers here, which is good. So we were just talking about different examples. And let's say you're bench pressing, right? Three sets of 10, bench pressing 100 pounds. Well, if you do the math, that works out to be 30 reps of 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So if my math is correct, yes. What would you say, 3,000?
3,000.
3,000 pounds. So for that one bench press exercise, that was 3,000 pounds that you lifted in that one session. So really track your numbers. Some people are in there with their notebooks and people say, how come they write everything down? Well, they're probably doing a really good job of tracking.
Smart.
Intelligent design there. So, tracking their progress, and you can look back on that. What have you done over the past 2 weeks, over the past month, 3 months? So, sometimes it's beneficial to be kind of a data junkie and.
I was just gonna say, learning more about the acute to chronic workload ratio, just tracking what you're doing is a good idea. A lot of people go into the gym and probably think, I usually do this amount of weight, but that's how you plateau.
Yeah.
So, not making jumps too quickly, prevent injury, but also making those training adaptations by adding incrementally each week. That's that sweet spot that we wanna be in. So that's smart. Those people who are, tracking on their notebooks, good for them.
So making a meaningful change, that's always the objective. Those are kind of that's the breakdown of using actual data and real numbers to objectively kind of track this chronic acute workload ratio. So the week you're in, you never want it to be more than that 10% increase compared to the previous few weeks, 3 to 6 weeks. So when you jump above that, your risk of injury really does go up. I think a lot of the research has shown that jumps up to 15% or more actually results in up to 50% increased risk of injury.
Yeah.
So now granted, injuries are never guaranteed, but it's again all about modifying those risks. So when you make more than that 10% increase in total volume now versus the previous few weeks, your risk goes up, and a 15% increase or more means your risk of injury goes up to 50%.
Yeah.
So that's not something I'm comfortable with doing for myself. And
sure.
I'll be honest, a lot of people joke around that PT has great job security because people are always getting hurt, and sometimes it's a training related mistake. So if you can modify that as much as possible, you're going to be much better off for it.
Absolutely.
So at the risk of not going too much longer, we'll talk about RPE,
okay.
Non-objective ways to track it. So I'll let Sean kind of start this one.
So last week we talked about RPE, which is rate of perceived exertion. We can rate that on a 1 to 10 scale. How intense are you feeling that your training is at that moment? So the way we use this for the acute-chronic ratio is you don't want your acute, your current fatigue, to really surpass what your chronic is. So your chronic we refer to as your fitness levels that that you've gained, and your acute is your fatigue levels in the now. If your fatigue in the now is greatly surpassing what you've done in the last 3 weeks, even if it's not a great jump in the load or in sets, reps, all that,
mm-hmm.
If you're feeling like it's a lot more intense than what you've been doing, then you're at increased risk for injury.
Yeah, right? If you continue training through that.
Yeah.
So it's all a matter of how tired are you? How beat is your body? How sore right. are your muscles?
Right.
I mean, those are all metrics that we can't really put a number towards, except for this kind of arbitrary 0 through 10 scale. And there are a couple of different scales, you know, for rate of perceived exertion. So disclaimer right. there, but I mean, for just for yourself, we use 0 to 10 for pain a lot. So you can use 0 to 10, you know, or just create some sort of consistent metric that you're going to use to gauge your own fitness and fatigue. So yeah, like Sean said, if you're in a hard training week right now and you're really, really beat, your muscles are sore, it hurts to move, go up and down stairs, and you know it's lingering for a while, and you're noticing that it's lingering a lot more than it has the past few weeks, it's not, you shouldn't give yourself the green light to go ahead and continue to do that. Or you definitely shouldn't, you know, plan a competition or a really hard, you know, test yeah. effort, so to speak. So whether you're playing soccer, playing volleyball, basketball, football.
Yeah, RP is a lot about listening to your body, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the load is that objective data, like 300 pounds is 300 pounds, but yeah. some days it just feels heavier than other times.
Yeah.
Sometimes going out for 10 miles could be a breeze for you, and other times it could be a drag.
Yep.
You know? So.
And a lot of different things will affect your RPE. For instance, if you get less sleep, if your diet has not been as clean as you want it to be, or you just didn't eat as much as you wanted to, you know, all those kind of factors, if you're more stressed out, something that used to be very easy for you can all of a sudden be a lot more effortful. So, you know, whether you're at the gym trying to do push-ups or go for a run or even walking up and down the stairs, sometimes you're like, man, my legs are tired today. So if you've been stressed at work, you haven't been sleeping well, haven't been eating well, those are all things. Or if it's hot and humid out. So the weather conditions can greatly affect how stressful a similar activity will be compared to how it used to be for you in the previous few weeks. So, yeah, you want to look at it that way. If your previous few weeks, your chronic, was much higher than you are training now, and you're acute, you're well set up for success. So that means you're pretty well prepared to continue to exercise and work out. But like Sean said, if you know you notice that the week that you're in now or how you're feeling now is much harder and much more fatiguing or tiresome and stressful than the previous few weeks were, you're not well prepared. So you want to keep an eye on that, and you know, never, I guess there's no better way to say it, just don't plan on, you know, trying to break any barriers or set any new records or PRs for yourself if yeah. you're really, really fatigued. Yeah. That's when your risk of injury goes up. So yeah. it's a little tougher to kind of gauge if you're not using anything objective. But again, it still comes down to keep a good log. I mean, if you go out for a run and be like, hey, I felt great this day. You know, my perceived effort level was a 5 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 or whatever it is. Just look back and then, you know, you'll have a pretty good idea of how you can track it. And everybody has good and bad days. And please don't think that we're telling you that if you're struggling or you're putting out a hard effort, you're going to get injured. It's not about that. You know, we want you to have hard training sessions because that's where you make changes.
And but, when we talk to our patients, we say, you know, basically like this is a marathon, not a sprint type thing, like yeah. peaks and valleys. Same goes with our training. So it's your chronic to acute is not just always going to be like this. It's going to be a yeah. little bit like this. It's just you're taking the average of all your training.
Yeah.
So
you want to minimize spikes in that average.
Yes, of course.
So, I mean, that's really it. Again, using overall training volume, try and keep changes week to week below 10% if you can. If you're using rate of perceived exertion or some other non-objective measure, again, just make sure that the week you're in now or the amount of training volume you're in now in the past and next few days is you know, not as high stressfully as the past, you know, 3 weeks were. Mm-hmm. So again, we apologize if we're, you know, kind of bouncing all over the place, but it is kind of a complicated topic. But that's also why it's a conversation we have with almost everybody that comes in the clinic, all of our clients, all of our athletes, mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the off season or the, you know, the middle of the summer, you know, competition wise, getting ready to prepare, because here in the Northeast, again, it's hot, it gets humid. And sometimes there's just no way around it. You know, certain workouts are going to be harder than others. So education is fun for us. We really enjoy trying to help people understand this because it makes their training better.
Yeah.
So.
And if anyone has any specific questions on this topic, feel free to shoot them our way.
Yeah, throw them at us.
Yeah.
So hope you guys enjoyed this. So that kind of concludes the you know, the two sessions that we wanted to take to discuss acute chronic workload ratios and how you can manipulate them and hopefully prevent as many injuries for yourself as possible. We have a couple other items up on the docket for the next few weeks, but again, that's what we find fun and entertaining, and we're nerds, so it might not be as fun and entertaining to you. So if you have any ideas, you know, we'd love to hear them. You know, Justin and Ashley are doing their videos over there in LaGrange, the other side of the world, and you know, we're taking care of things here in Fishkill. So send some ideas our way. Have a good rest of the weekend. It's apparently we just found out we're supposed to get some snow.
Yeah, so be safe.
Come on, warm weather, just get here already. We'll see you guys later, right? Have a good weekend.
Take care, guys.